Welcome to Ring Talk, Goodwin Boxing, episode 150, with myself, Martin Theobald, and with me, Steve Goodwin, revitalised, re-energised. Had a fantastic Saturday night, didn't you?
I really loved it. It's sort of, that's what we were able to do maybe 6-7 years ago, and we've got the formula now to redo this once every 3 months. It was just absolutely amazing, and probably one of the best shows I have ever been to. And yeah, it was fantastic.
Yeah, it's a show where fans are welcome, builders are welcome, anyone's allowed to come along.
I think if I didn't upset too many people, I'd probably give builders a £10 discount next time. I don't want to upset Eddie and people at Matchroom, but I'm just saying, in reality, that was a bad error of judgment in an interview. A bad error.
That's a strange week, isn't he? Isn't he, Frank Smith? Each their own. I've got to say,
I've met Frank on quite a few occasions. I've always found him a really nice fella. But what on earth was he thinking when he said that? It's crazy.
He seemed like a nice bloke, I'm sure. I'm pretty sure the stuff that he came out with about not really caring about fans' views, fans have no right to know anything. I just think that was a conversation that probably happens behind closed doors that shouldn't have been said in front of a camera, and he'll learn from it, would be my take on it.
I think that's fair, because PR... Anyway. Eddie Hearn is the PR king, isn't he? So you've never got Eddie saying that.
Say what you want about Eddie Hearn. He's done 16 years of this in front of a camera, and never once, apart from slagging me off, gone big on like a whole industry. Yeah. Just for individuals. But anyway, that's by the by. We're going to talk about some Matchroom stuff later. Let's talk about the real main event, though, which was Saturday night, which was Boxmania, which was, I think, the best Goodwin card since the night where Leon McKenzie fought John McCallum.
Oh, you like that? I thought you were going to say Chelo Render there. You think the John McCallum night was the best?
I loved that night. There were loads of big fights on that night.
Yeah, there was. It was brilliant.
That's what
we want to bring back. We want to bring small hall boxing back, where people think that is a better event than going to a televised boxing event. And we're going to build these cards where people can act, where we can say, this is better than any televised event that you can go to, apart from obviously the super duper duper ones, you know? That's what we want to build.
And that's what we want. And it was something else, the production, the staging, the lighting. It was all brilliant. And it was just great fun as well, like the fights delivered. So let's come on to them, I suppose. I'm not going to try and pretend to remember everyone who fought off the top of my head. So I have got them in front of me here.
If you miss any, I will pick them up.
Don't worry. As long as BoxRec's up to date, we're good. So let's start with first fight of the night, which was Tyler Chambers taking on Michael Mooney. So Tyler, young lad, isn't he, 19?
Yeah.
Under the guidance of John Cole. We're going to sort of skip through some of these undercard ones, but I was particularly impressed by Tyler Chambers. I thought he was very good for a debut.
I was really impressed. And I didn't really expect anything other than a John Cole fighter, because John Cole is a brilliant, brilliant trainer. But I was really impressed. I thought he tired a little bit towards the end, but that's normal for a debut. But I thought he was absolutely exceptional. I think he's a top talent. He's going to go a long way.
Yeah, and I know under yourself and John, he's sort of in good hands, and he'll progress well.
He's out again on the 9th of December, Tyler. 9th of December.
Excellent. Second one up was Zach Chelly. First fight under Goodwin Boxing. Goes in against the toughest man in the world, Jordan Granham, and stopped him in the fourth round a minute to go.
Yeah.
Impressive sort of statement win for Zach. And I know it was only sort of a run out for him as such, because you've got bigger plans for him than sort of, no offense, but being on those shows, there are bigger plans afoot for Zach.
Yeah.
But he needed to get a win. He got a win. Were you pleased
with him? Yeah. I mean, he was sharp. He needed to get that because it's his first fight under Barry O'Connell. His dad's obviously just moved away from the training and everything. And he's got Barry O'Connell now in the corner. So it's important they had a fight and a preparation together, even though he only signed with me literally a week before. So we got him out very quickly, got the win. We had to get the win. And what happens over the... what we see happening over the next few weeks I think will demonstrate why we did what we did so quickly. But obviously, whilst at the moment things are in progress, I can't really discuss it on here, but I will discuss everything in real detail so people can understand why we do what we do here. But I just can't discuss that at the moment. But he will now move on from that, for sure.
Don't worry about it, Steve. It's only boxing fans. They don't deserve to know anything.
No, they do. They deserve.
Oh, sorry. I've slipped into my Frank Smith role. Sorry.
I think boxing fans deserve to know everything, but there are certain times when you're in negotiation that you just can't say it. When you conclude, I mean, we tell everybody everything here, but it's very important. But sometimes when you're in the middle of a negotiating that waiting for things to happen, you just have to keep quiet until it happens. So that's all. That's just fair. You don't want people to know what you're trying to do.
No, absolutely. And we've sort of discussed it, and they are exciting plans, and there's a big future ahead for Zach, and it'll be awesome. I keep referencing that Frank Smith one. I did say to you off camera as well, credit to Eddie Hearn. He sort of came out, discussed what Frank had said, and sort of said, he'll learn his lesson from this. And in the meantime, he needs to take his pelters.
Yeah.
So I'm just adding to him. Billy Stanbury in Morale. That's a fun fight. And kind of need to make the point, Ian, I think your sort of reference is being from Milton Keynes. I don't know if you are or you aren't. My hometown. Ian, I want to look out for you. If you're going down that journeyman role, you can't fight like that.
No, you can't, can I?
You will have a very short journeyman career, Ian, if you carry on doing that. Don't get me wrong, as a fan, I loved watching it, and it was good fun. But you've got to look after yourself, my friend.
Yeah, that is not the way to box as a journeyman, for sure. And I manage Ian, so I'm quite aware of that. And obviously, we spoke on Monday. I gave him a bit of advice, and I hope he's going to take it. Or a bit of advice. He told me what he's thinking of. I endorsed it, and I think that's the way forward. So hopefully, we're going to get something which is going to stop that happening going forward.
Yeah, but don't get me wrong. As a fan, I'm all for it with my fan hat on.
Not good. Not good for him. Billy Stanbury was done very well, didn't you think?
I thought he did well. I thought he boxed really well, actually.
Yeah. So Billy's 8-0, and he said he comes obviously from Devon. He brings a big crowd wherever he goes, but we've got to develop him. And I was speaking to another boxer yesterday, and I'm not going to mention the name of the boxer, but I'm just going to say. And I found him the perfect fight, but his trainer vetoed it. And I said to that particular boxer, and I will never mention who it was because it doesn't matter. I'm the manager. I know the best. And the trainer's vetoed it. But I said, in 12 months' time, you're going to look back and go, shit, I should have listened. But this is what happened. So Billy, on the other hand, he's going to be guided by me. It's about taking the right fights the right time. And when I get the right opportunity, his trainer's Richard Grigg, brilliant, brilliant boxing man. But people know we know what we're doing. And so we'll be looking for an opportunity. But on the other hand, we don't care if we don't get one for another year. Because if we get an opportunity, it's got to be the right one because we want to take Billy to the very top.
Yeah, and he can go there. He's a good, good fighter. And he's progressing. The second time I've seen him, I've sort of not seen him for a little while, and I was impressed by the adjustments.
Mm, no, for sure.
Alfie Clegg, not your fighter, but took on Adam Yahya, dropped him twice. Really impressive, Alfie Clegg.
He's managed by Xavier Miller, who works with him with Dean White. And apparently he's got a title shot on the 25th of November on the Dean White show. But I was really impressed with Alfie Clegg. I thought he was a really decent fighter. Nice young man as well, by the way. Before the fight. And basically, he was another one that we helped because Dean cancelled his show. We helped two fighters last week. We helped him this week. So if we can, we will help people when they get these shows cancelled.
Yeah, I caught Xavier's eye after the fight and said, he's some talent, that lad.
Yeah.
he's something else. George Hennon returned to winning ways, stopping Santiago Garces early doors as well.
I thought George looked really impressive. And we wanted, after his fight last time, when he obviously got stopped by Ben Fields in his English Eliminator, I just said I wanted him to go back and just shake those cobwebs off. And I thought he was really impressive. There's loads of reasons as to why what happened to him last time happened. But he's not made excuses. He's just got on with it, come back and gone back to where he was before. I think he's a serious, serious talent, George Hennon. Serious talent. I have raved about him for a long time. I, It was actually interesting. Before Yasser Al-Gaynor was managed by me, and he was still in his old setup, I was trying to make George Henn and Yasser Al-Gaynor. How weird is that? And
yeah,
Yasser Al-Gaynor is an totally different fighter now. And but that was the time we're going back a long time ago, because I think George Hennon is a serious talent, and either I think he's going to learn, him and his trainer George Omani, who's a young trainer on the up. I think they've got a great relationship, and I think we've got some really good times. And you know, he's looking for title shots now in the super lightweight division. And here's my headache, because as you know, when you look at who we've got in super lightweight, we've got a lot of them.
You've got it tied up.
Yeah, but we've got a lot of fighters, so we need to move in the right direction.
Yeah, but no, he looked impressive. It was good to see him back. Ross McGuigan, points win over Dylan Courtney.
Yeah, like a nice performance. Say for Ross, he's dropped down to light heavyweight now, and he wants a crack at a title before he retires. That's what his aim is. So we'll see what we can do over the next few months for him.
All right. First one of Andy Gill's trainers we're going to mention. Andy, he keeps cornering me about coming down to his gym, and we'll do some recording there. So, Steve, we need to get that booked in. Andy, I promised you we'll come and do it. We'll come and do it. Just need to get a time and a date. Me and Steve will come down. We'll do something with your fighters and your lads. I promise you. You can hold me to that next time I see you. But don't batter me, Andy. You look hard. Lewis Frimpong against Carl Sampson. It wasn't the fight Lewis wanted, but it was a fight that he had. And I know there are bigger plans afoot again for Lewis in December.
Well, yeah, he's had two English title fights cancelled on him in the last week. Both times Michael Rambalatz has pulled out for various reasons. They are, by the way, they were both legitimate reasons, but it's still twice. And so we need to make sure that next time his fight for the English title goes ahead. We're working on something at the moment, and again, hopefully able to reveal that in the next 2 weeks.
Real. I just need to note on Lewis Frimpong, he must be one of the nicest people on the planet. Like, the lad has always got a smile on his face. He's always laughing and joking around. I went to his changing rooms before the fight. I was just sort of chatting with him and the team there. He took the time to stop and chat with my lad, Oscar, who was down with us. And then after his fight, he was stood sort of ringside, and he sat and chatted with Oscar again about his fight and how he felt during. But he did it all with a big smile on his face, and nothing's too much effort for him. He's such a good man.
He's talented.
Yeah, and, he really is.
But he's going to be on the next Boxmania, which we will be able to announce in 2 weeks, and we're just trying to tie down everything for that. So it's exciting times ahead for Lewis. And it's a cracking fight we got planned for. Oh my God, it's a cracking fight for December. Unbelievable fight. So hopefully, you know, he'll be out on December 2nd. That's when he's scheduled anyway.
And also talking about their changing room, I know there was Lewis Moore, the photographer, who was down working with all of Andy Gill's fighters, as well as generally. check out Lewis amongst all the other photographers that were there on the night. But Lewis, I sort of know personally, and it's good to see him. But he got some cracking shots. Credited your lighting rig that you had up for the night as well, Steve. I think all the photographers have probably benefited from that being available, which added to the production feel as well, and having it all up on the poles and the cameras up. And it's brilliant. But I'm just reliving it now. Denis Denikachev, unanimous decision against Sajid Abid. Difficult one for you, I guess, managing both.
Worthy, look, it was the right fight for both, fighting for an English title. Denis was a worthy winner. Scores were, you could argue, 96, 94, 97, 93, around that's what it was. Sajid will come again. He did have an interrupted preparation, but Denis was the better fighter on the night. The fight we'd like for Denis, I doubt we'll get, is Campbell Hatton. We have made an offer to them, to Campbell Hatton, and if they don't want to stage it, we'll stage it. I'm quite happy to pay the money to stage Campbell Hatton's fight against Denis Denikachev. They don't want to do it on Sky, but we've made the offer. So Campbell Hatton has an opportunity of an English title shot now. We're happy to do our voluntary against him. We're waiting for a return phone call. So we'll see how we go.
I reckon you'll be waiting a long time. that's no offence to Campbell Hatton. I suspect they've got a pathway sort of laid out for him that doesn't involve that yet. But
yeah, I think so.
Why not do it?
I think, look, you don't know. It's up to them. Look, they're going to do what they do that suits them best. But the opportunity is there for an English title shot. Again, you know, they may well. I don't think they'll want that, but who knows? But that's an ideal fight. Lucas Ballingall, who was English champion, also has a right of first defence as well. So he's an option. So there's a few things because he's got that option. He relinquished. So we've got, you know, we've got a few options open, but everything ties in with the super lightweights because we've got them everywhere. So we're trying to navigate them all correctly.
Yeah. And I mean, generally on the fight, it didn't blend particularly well. It was the only one out of sort of the main fights that didn't really light fire. Denikachev, he's got that hell of an engine on him, isn't he? He keeps going all the way through those 10 rounds. I thought from sort of round 6 to 10, he probably didn't lose a round throughout any of them. The first ones were a bit more even. Sajid, he didn't look himself in there. And I don't know
he wasn't. I know what's gone on, but he doesn't want to make it. Like, they're nice people. And
brilliant people.
All they want to say is we lost to the better man. They don't want to make excuses. But I do think Sajid, let me say this now, he will come back and he's better than that.
He is better. I suppose that's what I mean, is that he is better than that. He didn't look himself. But I also know he's a classy man and a classy bloke, and he's not going to sort of give any rationale behind that. But for anyone that was there Saturday night who hadn't seen him before, that isn't the full capacity of Sajid Abid.
No, fair.
But credit to Dennis. He, as I say, he sort of took control for the second half of that fight, and that's probably what won him the fight.
Yeah.
The two fights that did catch fire, though, we'll start again with an Andy Gill fighter. Yasser Elgainer against Aaron Prosper.
Did you know what the odds were when Bet 365 or Sky Bet opened the odds on Friday? Do you know what?
No.
1-10 on Aaron Prosper, 6-1 Yasser Elgainer. When those odds come up, Aaron Prosper was standing in front of me and I said to him, these odds are mental. This is so wrong. Because I thought, that was crazy. I went out on Friday night and I was in a pub because somebody had come down from Cornwall to have a beer with me. So I went out.
Was that Tim?
Yeah.
Shout out to Tim. I didn't get to see him Saturday night.
Yeah, so I went out for him and a boxer that he's turning over. We went out for a beer and everybody in the pub's going, what's going on tomorrow? And they said, give us a tip. And I said, Yasser Elgainer. That's the tip. That's the tip, because these odds are so, so, so wrong. And people sent me texts going, God, thanks for that. It was great. Because I don't know where the bookmakers got those odds from. That's nuts. They were nuts. They made no sense. There was no sense.
So let's touch on the performance, though, because round one, I'm sat thinking, this is going to be a hard night's work for Yasser. He's getting trapped in the corners. Aaron's sort of teeing off at will. Yasser wasn't getting caught. He was covering, parrying an awful lot. He was spinning out, but he wasn't getting a lot off himself. Round two was sort of the same until the last 5 seconds of that round. And then he started getting a bit sort of, he grew into himself. A little bit of fancy footwork as the round ended. And it almost looked like he grew a little bit at the end of the round and Aaron sort of wilted a little bit. Came out for round three, Yasser. From that point onwards, it was his fight.
I agree.
Like, I couldn't give Aaron Prosper a round from round three onwards.
That's fair. And look, Aaron Prosper is a really good fighter.
Yes, he is.
But he was given a lesson. And that's the only way I can describe it. He was given a total boxing lesson by Yasser Elgainer, who has improved dramatically. And when I say improved dramatically, I saw him do 6 rounds before and he wasn't doing 6 rounds well. In other words, I didn't feel he was seeing them out fitness wise. But as I said last week, he went to Andy Gill, you ain't going to have the fighter's going to be a 15 round fighter going there. And it was just amazing, amazing performance. And I've got to say, it was as good a performance as I have seen from any fighter at that level for many, many years.
No, I agree. So I'm trying to make my video come back. Bear with me 2 seconds. Ah,
There we
the
go.
joys of da-da-da. Try that.
You've gone. You were there just now.
Yeah, da-da-da.
You're back. You're gone. You're back.
Right, sorry, my camera got out of focus. I don't know why.
Okay.
But yeah, no, Yasser, incredible performance. I thought, and that stoppage was ridiculous. The fact that he, you just referenced it there. Andy Gill trains his lads as 15-round fighters. That late in the fight, to put together those combinations and leave Aaron Prosper, who is a very, very good fighter, in that way towards the end of the fight, hugely impressed. Hugely impressed.
So it was just brilliant. And so, once again, that Andy Gill's on, says, "Oh, we want the English title fight." But you see, we have to understand that when you're moving fighters into one and the other, if you're a champion of a weight, you have the right of a voluntary. You have the right of calling the shots. You want to take the right fight for the right money. And that would be the same for Yasser's Southern Area level as well, if he wants to defend it. So you've got to look at everybody's situation and what makes the best sense for them. So that's the thing we will do over the forthcoming weeks and make decisions on the go. But I've got to say, I was absolutely so impressed. And I was like you in the first round, exactly the same. I thought, oh dear, this isn't looking so good. But he just grew into it. And when he grew into it, he was just absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, I'll say just watching it, he was in motion all the way through that fight. He barely got caught with a thing from round three onwards.
Yeah.
And just he sort of had everything his own way, but purely through his own skill set, not because Aaron Prosper was bad, because Yasser was so good.
Great. No, it was brilliant. I can't say any more than that.
Yeah. And then moving on to another convincing stoppage, Brad Paul's taking out Mitchell Frearson for the English middleweight title. Again, two lads you managed, so difficult for you to sort of comment too much.
You comment about that. You talk about that fight because they're both lovely kids. Mitchell, what I would say is Mitchell was fighting for an English title and his dream was fighting for a Southern Area title. So he had to take the opportunity. He could go back to Southern Area level. That was always, what we said, that if he was good enough, he'll win it. If he wasn't, he can drop back. But you talk about the fight because both of those lads I hold great affection for, and they're both really, really good lads, same as Dennis and Sajid. But so you tell me, you took me took us through that fight.
Yeah, and it's difficult for me because I know Brad very well. I know Mitchell less so. But from what I know of Mitchell and sort of his career to date, I thought he overperformed on Saturday night. I thought he did brilliantly. He didn't get the win, he got stopped. But up until that point, he was causing Brad a lot of headaches in that ring. You could see the left eye of Brad was starting to sort of, there was Adam and I on commentary from about round three onwards saying, Brad's got to be careful here. That eye wasn't looking good. They did a great job in the corner, Terry and the team in the corner, of getting that eye under control. But I think that's testament to how well Mitchell was doing in the fight, was actually sort of causing Brad a fair few problems. What Mitchell didn't do enough of for me was to occupy the space between the two of them. So he was allowing Brad to sort of tee off with the right hand from distance, without having to set it up necessarily with a jab. He wasn't busy enough and wasn't occupying Brad enough. So it was sort of giving Brad too much freedom to tee off on him. But I say, I thought Mitchell actually really performed very, very well. That said, I thought Brad was very good. Probably, if I'm perfectly honest, I had a few question marks as to whether Brad can let his hands go like he used to be able to let his hands go. And he could, and that stoppage proved it. And I think that would do him the world of good as well for his future fights. In that it probably, I don't know, but I'm guessing Brad himself, if he's sort of is honest with himself, may say that he had the same question marks. And that's overcome them. No doubt that's overcome them. And to get a stoppage like that in an English title fight after what was quite a hard fight as well, he kept that energy up. Sitting where we were, the sweat was coming off the elbows, it was coming off the shoulders, it was coming off everywhere. And Brad, to put that combination together, really stuck it on Frearson. And as I say, sort of, if there were question marks about whether he was happy to let his hands go, they're gone.
Yeah, I can't disagree with anything you said. So now he moves on. It's always very the issue when you win an English title, you're the champion, so you're waiting for offers because you want somebody to come and make a good offer to you. But sometimes they don't. So I know that Brad would want to say, "I want a defence by the end of the year." It's not that easy, because if you don't get the right offer for the right money, then it's, you need, you know, and then what do? Then if you seek out an opponent, that opponent's going to want to be, he's going to say, well, okay, you want me, so I'm not going to give you a good deal, even though you're champion. So it's a very hard navigation period thing to do. With English champions, you're not quite there yet. You know what I mean? You're there. Doesn't mean, an English champion doesn't mean you get massive TV exposure. Tyler Denny was able to do it by continually winning, and then then Sky got behind him, and that's easier for him to do that. For Brad, unfortunately, the negative point, and I'm just being honest because we talk everything, because he didn't do well against Tyler Denny, he didn't perform that night, TV companies like Sky will look at Brad and say, no, not really interested. As a whole, we might find a fight for him, because you get that opportunity on TV, but once you either lose or you don't perform, boxing is a cruel, cruel sport that way. You get canned off. And I was speaking to people about that today in the televised industry, and they were saying it's very harsh. If a boxer doesn't continue to perform, we just bin them. Tyler Denny, on the other hand, has continued and continued and continued and continued. Now gets his European title shot. Fair dues to him. So with Brad, we're sitting there, we're going to get opportunities, but you can't control the time period. You can't say, well, I want to fight in 2 months' time and I want to defend my title. And I want the, it doesn't work like that at English level.
2 points on that. I mean, Jordan Reynolds is one that I've seen calling out Brad Paul's.
Yeah. I spoke, but the thing was, I've been approached by them. But it's whether who's offering what.
Yeah, because he hasn't got a platform.
He hasn't got a platform. He hasn't got a promoter. So consequently, Jordan's a good fighter. So what's the point? Why does Brad want to fight Jordan Reynolds for no money?
Yeah. I say, purely from a fan perspective, that's got a war written all over
it. But when you've won an English title like Brad has, and Brad has a live chance against him, it's got to be worthwhile. Now, Jordan's managed by Darren Barker. If they come with an adequate offer, we'll talk about it. But there's no point saying, for example, Jordan Reynolds wants to fight Brad Paul's, can we do it on your show? Well, why is Brad Donald going to want to do that? He's not, is he?
Yeah.
He's got the belt. Jordan Reynolds has nothing. Doesn't matter what he does as an amateur. He's got nothing. So consequently, until he has something, which is either a title or money, it's not really a fight you're interested in.
Yeah. And going back to that point you're making about sort of underperforming on a TV show and then sort of how it impacts further on. I remember Linus when he fought on the David Haye undercard, wasn't it? I think the Haye Bellew one, was it maybe? And he went through that run of having about 3 fights in about 4 months. And I think that was the third one. And by that point, he looked a bit tired and lethargic. And I seem to remember having a conversation around, I think, was it Adam Smith maybe, that had sort of said at Sky, we're not that interested in him. That wasn't a great performance.
Right.
And sort of brilliant now. Linus has had further opportunities. And he's got that opportunity coming up in 2 weeks on DAZN. It is hard. If you don't grasp the opportunity when you've got it, then it might be a long road back to it. Thankfully, Linus has sort of traversed that road and now gets to go and win on the zone on the Wood Warrington undercard in a couple of weeks' time. But
I do expect him to win that.
Yeah, yeah. I was chatting to him on Saturday night, and I think he sort of is in a very good place and anticipates he puts a performance in. Mm. So that's your card done Saturday night. Quick look back, Joyce getting stopped by Zhang in 3. Thoughts?
End of Joyce, full stop. This is about a fighter that has been delivered the opportunities too slowly. He's too old. And somebody that takes that much punishment in fights, there's going to be a time when the punch resistance goes. And you can't just keep walking through these shots. And unfortunately, the time he's really come to the big fights, he's too old and the punch resistance has gone. And that's the end of it.
I think, purely my view, not Goodwin Boxing view, it's a complete mismanagement and almost a dereliction of care for Joe Joyce to put him straight back into that fight.
Well, you know, my views on rematches when you've been stopped. It's exactly the same as that. Yeah.
Stinks to me of people that want to get their money out of Joe Joyce. Nothing had changed. It wasn't like they've gone away and sort of rebuilt his style and changed how he fought. He looked sort of scared of the left hand, and it wasn't the left hand that did the damage, it was the right. Why, as a management team, did those people involved think this was a good idea for Joe to go back in with a man who'd just taken away the invincibility factor of him without having any change to the fighter that was going into the ring? I don't get it. And to me,
all I can tell you, if I was his manager, I wouldn't have done that fight.
No, I don't believe you would have. And I know age is a factor and you sort of, all those things, but that fight was for nothing other than that WBO bullshit belt, the interim thing, which might or might not get you a fight with Usyk at some point in the future. I don't get it. And I say, to me, it sort of looked like a team that wanted to get money back out of somebody. There we go. This coming Saturday night, there's one show at York Hall and there's one show at Wembley Arena. York Hall, so you've got Callum Simpson, you've got Caroline Dubois, sort of they're the two main fights going on down there on Sky Sports. What do you make of these? I know you've got an eye on Callum Simpson now with Zach Celli loitering.
What do I make of it? Well, my friends at Sky, without being there, it's not a great product, needs improving. They've just added another card on McKenna against Tetley. But the card as a whole, headlined by Caroline Dubois, Callum Simpson's now got a Mexican because Jermaine Brown, which I like that fight, has not happened. That's not their fault. So for me, it's not a good enough card. That's my bottom line opinion. I've got an eye on Callum Simpson because he's the Sky's blue-eyed boy in the super middleweight division, and he looks very good, but he's fought nobody yet. He's not fought anybody that's going to hit him back. He's not fought anybody that can take the shots. So I'm very confident that if when he fights Zach Celli, now Zach's with Barry O'Connell, that Zach Celli would totally expose him. And I think he will get exposed. I think he's good, but he's not great. And I think he will be exposed. I may be proved wrong and he may be the second coming, but I don't think so. But we're not going to find that out on Saturday night. It's just not a card. If you look down the card, look at our show last week at York Hall and compare with who's going to win. This, if you look down the card, there's not that type of thing. And look, I think broadcasters, going back on broadcasters, we spoke about this. Broadcasters have problems, right? That they often, and I'm talking about DAZN, Sky, whoever it may be, Frank Warren, they give out contracts to fighters. Too many, in my opinion, this is my opinion only, too many fighters that are not going to produce good fights. To sign them, they will agree to certain conditions, which mean that they're not fighting good fights. And I think it's very difficult because once you've got these contractual obligations, you start them to put up piss poor cards and piss poor fights sometimes. And it's difficult. So I think the whole thing needs to be reevaluated. We were talking off camera about some of the signings certain promoters have made. And they make some sense, but not for the right reasons. And that we're not going to cover on here. But it's not ending up signing these sorts of fighters for whatever reasons they are in creating a quality product. And I'm not going to mention, we just definitely can't mention what we were talking about off air. But, you know, that's my view. And they should be signing, making better fights. And but if they're contractually obligated to do that, the product and what they're contractually obligated to means that the product ends up being crap because they can't make the good fights. It's and we were just talking about my conversation with a broadcaster this week, one broadcaster, no matter which one it is, because I spoke to various broadcasters this week about various things. Some of the decisions at the moment make no sense to me. No logical boxing sense, no product sense, but that's how it is.
Yeah. I mean, I think Saturday night is a microcosm almost of some of the problems within British boxing, that you've got a card on Sky Sports and you've got a card on DAZN. And if I'm honest, you could combine the two cards and I probably still wouldn't watch them. And that's just, there's not enough on there. There's Jay Opatai against Jordan Thompson.
That should be, and I would expect that to be an Opatai comfortable.
That's a one-sided walloping as far as
There you go. There you go. Yeah, that's what I'm saying, yeah.
I'm away for the weekend, so I won't watch any of it. But even if I was around, it's one of these ones where I don't blame Jordan Thompson for getting the fight. And do you know what? I might be miles off. I might be miles off and Jordan Thompson is the real deal and he batters Jay Opatai. But I could barely name you two opponents of Jordan Thompson throughout his career. I've not really watched him that closely, but sort of it's a bit of a strange one that he's fighting for a world title. Ellie Scotney, who I love Ellie to bits, defending her world title. Between the two cards, I think I could probably name about three of the away fighters without going and box wrecking them. And that sums up the problem that we've got.
Yeah, the product itself at the moment generally is not good enough.
Yeah. Now, the good news is Sky Sports have got the right person in place to solve any problems that they might have. So I'm not going to make any judgment right now. And that's where we're at. Talking of signings, though, there's a new Goodwin Boxing signing.
Yeah, well,
a new old Goodwin Boxing signing.
And I am really, really delighted with this one because I love him to bits. He's one of the nicest boxers I've ever managed. And he left me, but I understood why he left me, which you could talk about in a minute. And I don't hold any grudges against somebody who leaves when it's respectful and it's, and I get why they did it. I hold no, and we're getting this thing happening now. We're getting a lot of boxers who've been with us wanting to come back, right? And it's Super Yusuf Kamari, who I can't wait to help develop his career from now on. Cannot wait, because we're going to make some waves and you're going to, and I think we're going to show people how it can be done.
Yeah, so you referenced, you know, he'd gone sort of, he'd flown the nest of Goodwin Boxing before.
After his 3-year career, he's undefeated at the time. Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't sort of tie up or tear up a contract, did he? Sort of did it the right way. Sort of blinded by the bright lights of Dillian White and being able to go and do that. Sort of has ended up with Xavier Miller, who I know you're very close to Xavier. Xavier's a good, good man, good trainer. And now under Xavier, still as a trainer, is coming back to yourself. I think anybody could probably understand that allure of going and working under Dillian at that time and having the opportunities that that would bring with it. Whether they did or they didn't come to pass is almost sort of irrelevant at this point. You can understand why he went and did that. He's had a few opportunities. That Reese Bellotti fight recently sort of gave a good account of himself.
There was a lot going on. He should never have been in the ring that night. And I'm not going to repeat on here why I can't say that. Let's just say that under my watch, he would never have been in the ring that night.
Yeah. So phase three now of Yusef's career. And this is the one where you push him on and sort of skyrocket him.
Exactly. Remember, he's still undefeated under me.
Yeah, there you go.
There we go.
Have we covered the world of Goodwin Box? I feel like we have.
I think we have. There's a lot of other signings from new kids and kind of other things going on that we'll talk about next week. And I think we've covered Goodwin Box. We've exhausted it for now.
Yeah, we're going to come back next week because we've got Linus's big fight coming up that needs plenty of coverage, plenty of chat, as well as everything else that's going on in the world. But for now, we'll leave you to it. Enjoy as much as you can of the zone and the Sky Sports. Where's Shane McGuigan going to be? Because he's got Ellie Scotney at Wembley Arena and he's got Caroline Dubois at York Hall.
Maybe he'll arrange the timing so we can flip between the two.
And Ellie will be, you know, Caroline's headlining, I think, isn't she?
Maybe so. Ellie on a bit earlier, and I would imagine he'll arrange the schedule so he can finish with one and jump to the other. That makes
jump
sense.
Jump on a tube and fly over to your call. I don't know. Just somebody get a grip of the sport and sort of bash some heads together. But in the meantime, other broadcasters should get on board with Boxmania, because I know December's going to be awesome and, like, genuinely still buzzing from Saturday night.
I do think that broadcasters should... I'm not saying they should do small hall stuff, right? Because genuinely, and I'm saying that as a small hall promoter, genuine small hall stuff is not good enough for television. It's not. The product is not good enough. Your friend Terry would say that as well, right?
You'd say it. Sort of the development shows that you put on, I don't think you'd advocate for them to be broadcast anywhere. They are what they are. They're development shows for younger talent and upcoming talent to have opportunities.
But doing a bot, and again, this Boxmania concept is good. It should be picked up by television. I'm not saying that, and I genuinely, there's other small hall promoters trying to do their stuff, but there's nothing that any small hall promoter has put out that rivals what people saw Saturday. No, and I'm just going to say that. And that's totally honest. And TV companies should pick that up, because we're going to develop this concept, make it bigger and bigger and bigger. And I don't hold my breath, but because I don't understand a lot of what these TV companies are doing. It makes no sense to me as a business person. But somebody should come along and pick up and say, hold on a minute, even if we ask you to put it on a Friday night, even if we don't pay fortunes for it, but we give the fighters exposure, even if we do this, this is a product that would really, we could help to build some of our boxing content. And that's what I believe.
There are two very obvious homes for it for me. One is Channel 5, where they show cards which are garbage. And when I see them, I think, how is this making it, but the quality of show on Saturday night isn't? Baffles me. The other logical home for it is DAZN. Like, you've got a channel sat there with nothing on it for 90% of the time. Sort of, it's not going to break the $1 billion budget that's sat there to invest some of it into something that not everybody's going to watch it, of course, but it adds to that value of a subscription fee. So, yeah, those things sort of baffle me why they don't get picked up when other things do. I can't get my head around that. And it's not even touching on the quality of the in-ring interviews either, which were exceptional.
Do you know, I think they should also hire the interviewer.
I did the absolute minimal amount of interviewing that could possibly be done in accordance with the board as well, who, may I add, were brilliant at sort of logistically sorting that out and giving the thumbs up to do it once a fight had been medically checked and sort of giving the instruction around it.
Yeah.
I can't remember the gentleman's name.
Richard Barber?
Richard Barber was absolutely phenomenal for helping out with that as well. So thank you, Richard.
Brilliant. So that's it. We'll see what happens on Saturday, and we'll be back next week and we'll talk about Linus in a bit more detail and whatever else we got to talk. There'll be some more news and more happenings, definitely for sure, by next week.
Fab. We're back into the rhythm now. So that's episode 150 nailed onto 151, up to 200 next week. And my camera's gone blurry, so it seems a good time to end.
Okay, brilliant.